everyone. And after a couple of relatively quiet weeks of peace, R&R, and a few cervezas in the sun, we're back.
Why, you had beer? We just had sticky, humid, nasty air and the old thunderstorm.
You had thunderstorms? I just did paperwork. So much paperwork.
I had CGs to keep up with.
I was shoving electrons around.
I can't remember what I was doing, but it definitely wasn't peaceful.
Well, I managed to get some more fight training in and work on the Hutton laser sword fitness system again. But for me, that is R&R. Well, it's R-R-L-R-L-L-R, duck R.
Okay, so it's just me then. Well, I'm back, so I suppose we'd better read the news headlines. Lacon plays a joke on the Apology Officer as new ship announced.
There's a hum in the air around Hutton.
21st century immune system wages war against 34th century bacteria.
Calling all cars in rapid unscheduled disassembly. An incidents report.
Hutton appeals for truckers.
And I appeal for everyone to pay attention to the BGS.
Lacon have announced Project Asunder, their codename for the latest ship, which is expected to take the final name of the Lacon Type 11, a dedicated mining vessel with an offset cockpit and an interesting new piece of very large mining equipment. It is expected to be of medium size, which begs the question whether some of the new equipment is an ultra-efficient raw material compressor. Speculation as to whether the 11 is going to be paired with a miniature space dredger, and by miniature we mean still huge but not as huge as the ones you've seen already, and the new equipment is a grappling hook reminiscent of those fired from ancient whaling ships, whereupon the 11 emulates the BBC Micro classic training mission Thrust and attempts to tow the asteroid, or isteroid, to the waiting maw of a dredger, which duly chews the big rock and poops low-temperature diamonds. There is some consternation amongst the piloting community, when is there ever not, about the size of the new ship as well as the offset cockpit. It appears that the ship designers have been taking hints from one of the classic design masterpieces of the 20th century, which in itself was talking about a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, the Millennium Falcon. As much as the designers would have liked the flying saucer with a cockpit glued off to one side look, copyright rules didn't allow them to fully imitate Ralph McQuarrie's design, so they just used it as simple inspiration. A new design for the side-mounted thrusters on what appear to be massive pistons mean that the ship might be one of a new design that adjusts its profile to fit on a medium pad by deformation. Our very own Amelia Hawke, for whom mining is her Zen go-to activity, had this comment.
It's about time us miners had something new. Everything else out there looks like a cargo hauler that someone glued a mining laser to. This looks like it was actually built for the job.
Navigational training centres have issued preliminary warnings about the challenges posed by the Type 11's offset cockpit, which places the pilot roughly one full adder to port of where the ship's actual centreline resides. Early pilot feedback has flagged particular difficulties when entering the toast rack of Orbis and Coriolis stations. Several testers noticed that instinctively flying centre-aligned tends to result in mild clanging, followed by strong language. Precision landings are similarly affected. Pilots report a persistent visual misalignment between where they think the landing gear is and where the pad thinks the ship is. This has led to multiple instances of ships resting neatly beside their designated pads, and at least one rebuy screen being blamed on a misjudged holographic alignment overlay. Defensive capabilities are yet to be released by Lacon, as piracy in asteroid fields is one of the most disruptive occurrences while trying to nab that rich core asteroid. There are also questions about the scoop positioning, limpet controllers, the refinery, the cargo storage, jump range, speed, turning circle, and of course, the scanner, that remain completely under wraps at the moment, though it is hoped that the ring scanner will be significantly improved over the "is that a valuable core asteroid, or is it just glad to see me?" current method.
In what may be the first sign of culinary civilization returning to the bubble, rumours that actual cheese, real cheese, might be making a comeback have ignited what some are already calling the lactose awakening. Following the rediscovery of live lactobacillus cultures inside Hugh Pratt's cryopod lunchbox, Hun Orbital have received increased attention from across civilized space. Microbiologists, dietary historians, food technologists, and several alarmingly enthusiastic cults have descended on the station to investigate, speculate, and in several cases, protest. The worshipful community of cheesemongers, Galactic Chapter, a semi-cloistered order based previously on a sealed dome near Leasty, has declared Hun Orbital a site of special dairy interest. Their representative, Grand Curder Ignatius von Brie, gave a short statement.
"The prophecy spoke of a man in Lycra, bearing milk solids from the before times. We merely seek to protect the sacred cultures."
Attempts to impose a ceremonial blockade of the station using their Beluga-class pilgrimage vessel, the Blessed Mold, were unsuccessful. The ship failed to achieve full orbital insertion after running out of crackers. Several galactic food unions have also made their presence felt. The Interstellar Federation of Food Unions has issued a formal demand for universal dairy access rights, reclassification of cheese as a fundamental nutrient, and the reinstatement of the historical right to mature Stilton in a sock. Union leader Maureen Colby Swole of the Pasteurization and Resistance Guild addressed the gathering at Docking Bay 4.
"We're not asking for the moon, we're asking for cheese, proper cheese, from actual milk. None of this protein-flavoured spread with a spray nozzle."
Both the Empire and the Federation have now appointed cheese attachés to Hun Orbital. The Empire's representative, Lady Curdeline Torval, arrived on a gilded courier ship with a small herd of vacuum-adapted goats. The Federation's envoy, Hank Monterey, attempted to offer a tray of preserved cheese substitute cubes. These were rejected at the airlock and later used to repair a coolant leak. Archaeogastronomers from the Galcock Culinary Archives have begun examining ancient production records and cargo manifests from pre-phage food shipments. Efforts are underway to reconstruct the original methods, though early results are inconclusive. There is disagreement over whether Comte can legally be manufactured without the Jura Mountains, whether cheddar must be aged within visual range of a gorge, and whether Red Leicester is supposed to be that colour.
"There's a technique, a tradition, temperature and timing. You get any of these wrong, you just end up with damp protein, or something that tries to crawl out of the vat."
Security at Hun has been increased, and a number of incidents involving counterfeit starter cultures and unauthorized milk derivatives. Bulkarius has been observed inspecting docking manifests for illicit dairy precursors. One crate labeled as shampoo was found to contain a pre-curdled protein medium. It was removed and safely disposed of by the floor mopping guy, who later reported it had an unusual density and the smell of linoleum. Celebrations are ongoing in the main concourse. There are cheese-shaped balloons, a string quartet performing selections from Rind of the Valkyries, and a raclette stall operated by a group of culinary traditionalists from the Baked Goods Compliance Front. A temporary sign in the canteen now reads, you must be this pasteurized to enter. In anticipation of future developments, Hutton Orbital's leadership has announced the formation of an official oversight body to manage the potential return of dairy products to the station. The newly appointed cheese board will be responsible for licensing, hygiene compliance, cultural preservation, and ceremonial rind turning.
If we are to reintroduce cheese, we must do so within a robust framework of safety, sovereignty, and smell. The cheese board will ensure that no inappropriate pasteurization practices occur without oversight.
The board includes Chairman Curdon Way, former head of the Alpha Centauri Agricultural Subsidies Panel, Mildred Crum, representing the Galactic Cooperative of Independent Crackers, Commander Frank No Spoons Rigby, a noted lactose skeptic included under protest to ensure balance, Dr. Bale Pajan, the only person in the system with a degree in historical cheesemongery, and friend Frederico, who is taking minutes and who no one invited. The Cheese Board's first act has been to commission a feasibility study into the construction of a gravity-controlled maturing cellar in an unused docking arm, along with a ruling that any future cheese must include at least one ingredient that has, at some point, come from an approved list of recognized dairy-producing creatures. This includes cows, goats, sheep, and select bioengineered yak analogues.
Chickens are not in the list. That's final,
said Bale Pajan authoritatively. The ruling has drawn criticism from Canon Interstellar Research Group, who had hoped to secure recognition for their controversial Gnosis avian cheese, the product developed during a long-range expedition with a faulty protein synthesizer and a surplus of poultry, has now been formally reclassified as non-curdled biological novelty spread and is no longer permitted to use the word cheese on packaging.
It's crackers! Totally crackers!
Added a disgruntled LCU no-fool-like one. Suggestions for the board's unofficial motto are still under review. Fromage Front, Fromage Libre, remains too French. United in Culture continues to test poorly. A late submission, No Chickens, No Exceptions, is being considered for informal use on the station. In parallel with the Cheese Board early planning sessions, Hutton has authorised the launch of several exploratory expeditions to identify suitable environments for traditional cave aging methods. Historical records indicate that certain cheeses derived much from their character from the unique properties of their maturation environment. Naturally, this has led to intense interest in replicating such conditions on a planetary scale. The initiative, named Project Grotto, has been overseen by the Department of Non-Standard Habitats and Aromatic Biogenesis. Early missions are targeting deep crust formations on outlying moons, abandoned Thargoid tunnels with safety waivers, and a particularly promising cavern system in Wolf 562, described by its discoverer as pungent but structurally sound.
Flavour profiles vary with ambient mineral content, humidity, and background radiation. A Stilton matured in a basalt vent may develop a rich, earthy tone. A cheddar kept in a cryo crevasse might develop a mild tang and faint crystallization. Further testing is needed.
One of the more controversial proposals under Project Grotto involves the use of a recovered Thargoid architecture for cheese maturation. While officially classified as an archaeologically sensitive and mildly hostile, certain internal voids within Thargoid barnacle constructs have been identified as possessing stable humidity, consistent temperature, and what researchers are describing as biochemically promising air.
Initial tests suggest that placing a green vein Stilton culture inside a Thargoid chamber results in accelerated veining, a more intense flavour, and a low-level oscillation. It hums slightly. We're monitoring the situation.
The experimental cheese, known only as codename XG-42, Spore Wheel, is being kept under strict containment in Hutton's quarantine vault. Observers have reported minor movement within the container, which is considered acceptable under the current safety guidelines for live dairy cultures. Thargoid responds to the unauthorized use of the chamber as a maturation cave is unknown. A diplomatic gift basket has been prepared just in case. Further updates will follow when something becomes edible.
In not entirely unrelated news, our freshly defrosted visitor, Hugh Pratt, has been conspicuous by his absence for the last 2 weeks. Since the incident involving the cryopod, the pan and the lunchbox, now under level 4 containment, not one member of staff has laid eyes on him. Nurse Wyeth has declined to comment, though she was last seen cleaning her gloves with a wire brush. Naturally, the question arose, where is Hugh? We dispatched a small investigative team equipped with a mop, 2 biosample scanners and a clipboard with the words "Approach with caution" written across it in red marker. What they found was a restricted wing of the medical bay, a negative pressure isolation door and several signs stating "Live cultures, do not tap glass." We attempted contact. He responded.
Apparently I've been confined for my protection. Seems I've brought a 21st century immune system to a 34th century bacteria fight. Nurse Wyeth, delightful but clinically determined, is currently upgrading me with regular doses of advanced medicines. Whatever those are. Meanwhile, my cheese has been quarantined while they determine whether the phage that wiped out Lactobacillus is still knocking about. No one wants to be remembered as the one who made cheese extinct. Again?
That clarified the basics. So additional questions did arise, prompted largely by the sound of distant gurgling. Let us check in again on Hugh's progress.
Oh my, that is a really big syringe. Is that even legal?
Medical staff have confirmed that the syringe is perfectly legal. Its previous use was listed as large animal tranquilization, though this appears to have been redacted on the current documentation. A short while later, we received another update.
Why do I need to take my trousers down, madam? It's just a booster, isn't it?
The booster, we are told, is administered in the most efficient location. Sadly, that location has not improved since the 21st century.
Where exactly are you planning to insert that? And do you really need a spotter?
A spotter is required under current Hutton procedural guidelines following a recent incident involving an unfortunately miscalibrated repurposed cargo scoop readout and a low gravity ricochet. We tried again this morning to obtain a statement.
No, I don't think I consented to that one. What's it even for? Fungal harmonisation?
Official records list fungal harmonisation as a mandatory precaution for pre-modern bioentities. What it harmonises with, or indeed against, remains unclear. A final check-in was made late this afternoon.
I feel unusually minty. Is that part of the procedure?
Nurse Wyeth was seen at that point with a hose and what appeared to be very old instruction manual written in Esperanto. We are assured that Hugh Pratt is expected to make a full recovery. His bacteria, unfortunately, are not.
Colin Olcars, Hutton's resident law enforcer and combat pursuit pilot, sent a message into the studio this week detailing exactly why his week went from pretty peachy to tits up in a matter of seconds on Monday. We now go to an official Hutton incident report regarding this recent and rather unfortunate event. Normally known for his high-speed enthusiasm and gravity-defying confidence on anything with wheels, skids or lift thrusters, he met with an unplanned dismount from his maglev hoverbike earlier this week. The incident occurred during what was supposed to be a routine transit between concourse zones. However, as you'll hear, it became anything but routine. The incident report is as follows.
Hutton Orbital Incident Report. Incident type, personal transport collision, moderate bone disassembly, textile loss. Incident location, lower concourse, Zone B, Hutton Orbital. Date of incident, 28th July, 3311. Commander Colin Allcars, decorated peacekeeping officer and avid hoverbike rider, was travelling aboard his personal maglev hoverbike designation Beryl between the Levine Memorial Cafe and landing control. The vehicle, which complies fully with station traffic regulations and features a number of enthusiast-approved enhancements, was operating flawlessly at the time. The incident occurred near Gate 7, where a yellow BP car, one of the city's automated freight guidance vehicles, reportedly deviated from its fixed track with little or no warning. Witnesses described the vehicle's manoeuvre as slow, committed veer into traffic, followed by two short beeps and one long one. Someone suggested it may have been transmitting SMIDSY in Morse code, short for "Sorry mate, I didn't see you," a phrase historically associated with entirely preventable land-based collisions during the combustion era. One witness did say that they distinctly heard the phrase "Give me your trash" before the collision, though this is, as of yet, unconfirmed. The resulting impact caused Commander Allcars to perform an elegant, if unintended, mid-air dismount, landing shoulder first in a way described by paramedics as orthopedically creative. A wrist on the opposite side joined the occasion in protest. Further losses include his favourite leather jacket, which was regretfully cut away by medical staff. The jacket is believed to absorb most of the initial slide and at least some of the friction. It will be missed.
The incident report continues on page 2. This is a long one.
Commander Allcars was treated at the scene by station medics using standard trauma support gear, stabilised with a portable med frame and transported to the Hutton Medibay for further care. He is expected to make a full recovery pending the 3D printing of replacement orthopaedic parts and something a little stronger on the painkiller front. All planned public appearances, including his ECM presentation Maglev Mayhem Riding the Rail with Style, has been cancelled. The yellow BP car is currently quarantined in a storage bay behind several pallets of stationery and continues to beep at regular intervals. Engineers report that it has shown no remorse and may be in fact escalating. Hutton's Transport Oversight Panel has acknowledged the incident, promised additional signage and misplaced three safety cones during a follow-up inspection. Commander Allcars has been issued a formal apology, a new jacket of similar swish and prepared a personal warning triangle for use during station transits.
There are reports that a mag lorry travelling behind Mr. Allcars might have some holo recordings of the incident, though it left the scene while he was still unconscious. Reports that Colin's life was saved by his novelty crash helmet are as of yet unconfirmed. Mainly as everyone knows his noggin is so solid, it's more likely he'd have damaged the bulkhead than anything important. We wish Colin a swift recovery, steady hands, and absolutely no further contact with autonomous vehicles, no matter how cheerful their warning tones may sound. We are looking for a new stunt pilot to attempt the Coventry Ring Road merge in anticipation of this year's ECM event, though as usual, the answer from nearly everyone has been, "No fear, mate."
Hutton Orbital, sponsors as usual of the ECM event in a little over 2 weeks. We have put out an appeal for a larger transport ship for event equipment. What started as a few pilots in a bar somewhere over the last 2 years has morphed into a behemoth that won't fit into a poor keelback. With over-enthusiasm bordering on ridiculous, the creation of two full Starship Bridge simulators was deemed not realistic enough. and two entire spaceships were created for the event. The AV equipment plus the London 2012 Olympics are put to shame. Oh, and the retro. Oh my goodness, the retro. We have been in contact with the venue with the possibility of constructing a new wing of the building just to temporarily house the retro content. All this has left Commander Vintgen with a lot of flight cases and a monumental game of Space Tetris. Trying to fit it all in the cargo rack of his ship with nothing larger than a medium pad ship available. The team are investigating obtaining a special edition large cargo rack with compression technology, or possibly even a fleet of ships to transport all the equipment. Then of course there is the problem that a number of the flight cases actually need four commanders to lift them. Watch your back. But he'll work that bit out. So, any ship pilots wishing to apply to assist, please email itookpart@huttonorbital.com with a CV, credentials, pictures of both you and your mighty thews, and your pilot's license.
Welcome to the Hutton BGS bit, where we sneak up behind the BGS and pull its underwear up over its head. This week, War in HIP 89621 against Osunti and Co. Shouldn't be difficult, they sound like a dance troupe. There is an outbreak in Wolf 1061. Election in Swimes DP-D C1-9 against the Ginnepe Coalition. And investment returns to Barnard Star. Your booms are in Kosis Sector DL-YD133, Riga, Wise 0855-0714, Wolves 359, 36 off Yuchi, Den 0255-4700, Epsilon Indy, Kokari, Talta, Wise 1405+5534, Spoins EP-D C1-18 and Sinuef SP-E C28-12. But what does that all mean? Well, if you want to truck it, then truck it to Barnard Star for maximum profit, or one of those boom systems for slightly less profit, or truck medical supplies to Wolf 1062. If you want to mission run, then do so in Swimes DP-D C1-9 to help with the election. And if you want to shoot it, then shoot Osunti, two eyes, in HIP 98621. Is it still 98621? Let me have a look. 89621 or 98621. And that's it for this week's Hutton BGS bit. I'm off for a lie down.